Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. You know I'm a big fan of enjoying life while still being smart financially. That's why I love ButcherBox. I can get a variety of high-quality meat, seafood, chicken, and pork at an amazing value, all with exclusive member deals delivered to my door with free shipping always. One thing I just never wanted to cut out of my spending plan is eating good food. And with ButcherBox, I don't have to, and neither do you. Where else can you get free protein for a whole year? Yes, you heard that right. One of my favorite go-to dinners is a salmon bowl. I'm not even a huge salmon lover, but ButcherBox's wild-caught salmon is oh so good. I make a nice little marinade, saute some veggies, cook the salmon, and throw in some Weiss. And it is an amazing dinner. If you want to take less trips to the grocery store and always have prepared meat in the freezer for a lot less money, you need ButcherBox in your life. Sign up at butcherbox.com/ETM and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/ETM. Hey, I'm Shauna Compton-Game. This is Millennial Money, and today we're talking Nashville hot chicken with Chef John Lasseter.
Millennial Money with Shauna Compton-Game. It will expand your brain.
So these days, Nashville hot chicken is all the rage. You kind of almost see it everywhere. It's invading other cities. Even KFC is getting into the act. But if you've never been to Nashville, you may have not had real Nashville hot chicken. Nashville hot chicken actually dates back origins to the 1930s, maybe even beyond that. And you could really find this spicy poultry deliciousness all over Nashville. There's several places, top places you can go, and people have their opinions of where the best places to go for Nashville hot chicken. But these days, the folks at Hattie B's hot chicken for the last several years have really built up a reputation for being one of the best in the city. And there's usually a line out the door, no joke, which that is always a good sign at a restaurant. One of the big reasons for their great success has to be for the talents of their executive chef, John Lasseter. In 2015, Chef Lasseter was named one of Forbes on the Forbes list of 30 under 30 hot restaurateurs to watch in the food and wine scene around the country. Even though he is one of the founders of the Nashville hot chicken rage that is currently going on around the country and specifically in Nashville, Lasseter is one of the most down-to-earth and talented dudes you want to meet. We featured John on our Nashville episode, our Nashville travel episode, as one of our local guides, and he gave us several tips to our Nashville guide. Don't forget to download that Nashville guide on our website. So enjoy our conversation with our friend and Hattie B's Hot Chicken executive chef, John Lasseter, as we talk about how he cut his teeth cooking in New York, the success of the Nashville food scene that is currently going on, and if you are brave enough to try their hottest of hot, Shut the Cluck Up Hot Chicken. So, John, welcome to the podcast. We appreciate you coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So, we're at Hattie B's here, and which location are we in right now?
So this is our West Side location on Charlotte Avenue.
Yeah. Okay. And then how did Hattie B's concept actually come to fruition? Because Nashville's hot chicken right now is like the hottest thing right now. So how did they come about?
So my father-in-law and brother-in-law have Bishop's Meat and Three down in Cool Springs. They opened in 2008, and right around 2010, they started playing around with some hot chicken, putting it on their menu one day a week, and it became a huge part of their sales. And so it's kind of like, man, I think we're on to something here. I came onto the team shortly after that and kind of helped develop the spice blend a little more and some of the sides. And we opened in August of 2012. It kind of became a reality for us.
Right, right. And pretty much for the most part, every week or every weekend, you guys have a line out the door too, right?
It's pretty crazy. Definitely get here either early or on the later side.
Yeah. So how did you develop your version of hot chicken?
So I kind of took the core of, you know, the Nashville-style spices and just got to playing with it, and I really wanted to have a balanced blend. A lot of hot chicken, when I was growing up, the heat was came through very strongly, and I like that, don't get me wrong, but I was like, how can I harness this heat just a little bit? And so I did that with sugar, and we, in the South, of course, you got to use brown sugar, so kind of developing, you know, my blend of, you know, the right amount of cayenne to the right amount of brown sugar was the balancing factor of that. And then just other spices that I thought would go really well with chicken and bring across those flavors very well, I kind of added to it. Can't disclose the full recipe to you guys today, but I'll let you kind of take it from there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, neither does KFC, so.
That's right.
Exactly. You got how many different versions of hot do you guys actually have?
So we have mild. Actually, we have Southern Fried Chicken. Yeah. So if you don't want any heat at all, you can also come to Hattie B's for that. And then we go from mild to medium hot. Yeah. And then our extra heat levels are damn hot and Shut the Cluck Up. So I think we have, you know, one level for everybody's preference out there. So,
well, tell us a little bit about your experience as a chef. How did you come to becoming a chef?
So I went to Western Kentucky University and just had a real struggle to, you know, following the liberal arts path and really finding something that I love to do every day. And, you know, I would go to work every single day miserable, and I was like, this can't be how life is going to be for forever.
Right.
And so I got to talking with my mom, and she's like, well, you've always wanted to go to culinary school. How about let's give it a shot? And I was like, that sounds amazing. But if we're going to do this, let's do it right. And I want to go to the best school that I can. So New York City ultimately became that radar of, all right, started researching schools. Definitely didn't want to, you know, do a bachelor's or an associate's degree in culinary. I wanted more of a fast track of getting the best experience possible and then just entering into the field. Yeah. So French Culinary Institute kind of met all that criteria, had amazing chefs. You could get your foot in the door at amazing restaurants around that city to obtain experience. And like I told you guys earlier, it's probably the time of my life. You know, you got to cook every single day, see amazing recipes and how to make different sauces, all the techniques all the way through. And just pretty much I was like a sponge in culinary school trying to soak up everything that I could, you know, learn. And shortly after culinary school, just couldn't afford to live in New York City. I knew that Nashville was kind of an upcoming city, and I'm from this area anyway, so I moved back to Nashville and just dove right in. So,
all right.
In those moments when money is just not moving as fast as your dreams, Earnin provides the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then you access up to $100 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I honestly would use Earnin in lots of different ways, but what's on my mind recently is I need a night out. I need some good tacos to sip on a few virgin margaritas and celebrate you all helping this podcast earn 26 million downloads. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. Gives me a lot of peace of mind." Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in "Talkin' Money" under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. Talkin' Money under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank & Trust, member FDIC. I'm sorry, but I have the best dog ever. Her name is Winnie Stardust. She is a mini golden mountain doodle, full of life, and I would do just about anything to keep her happy, healthy, and safe. Today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. Your pet is part of your family and you want to do the best for them, but vet bills can really add up. We jokingly keep telling Winnie she needs to get a job to pay for her vet bill. That's why you should check out pet insurance. And with ASPCA Pet Health Insurance, you can focus on the care your pet deserves and cover what matters most. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customized accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping to ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are. Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you are least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independent American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer, is not engaged in the business of insurance.
Tell us about the Nashville food scene. Like, why has that exploded so much, in your opinion?
Well, you know, hot chicken in general for us was our focus, and we've really just seen that concept alone explode. But it's really kind of cool seeing Nashville's fine dining scene, you know, come to life, where when I was growing up, if you wanted a nice dinner, it was either Ruth's Chris or Morton's or right. like a steakhouse chain. And that was like a special occasion. And now, I mean, you can pick from 100 different restaurants. I mean, I can't even count on two hands my favorites anymore.
Right.
And it's really cool, too, because this city has an amazing industry support. And so being a chef, we love to get together and kind of, you know, always try to hang out at least once a quarter and, you know, just for the love of food and drink. But I guess back to your question of, you know, how it got to this point, I feel like, you know, the music scene here in Nashville, the job growth here in Nashville is just so, you know, ahead of its time that people want to live in Nashville. They want to come to Nashville, develop their music careers, develop their careers further. Real estate's taken off. So, I mean, I'm probably just only touching on a few topics here, but it just seems like there's so much opportunity here in Nashville. You can kind of really just reach out and go for it here.
Yeah, so. And anybody visiting here too, you're like, oh, I could eat here. You can get the best cheeseburgers here, and now even Asian food is even coming in, and stuff. So, which is great to see.
Absolutely, I'm so excited because I'm not only a chef but a huge foodie,
right?
And love to eat at different places and food, drink, whatever it may be. So,
right.
Is it? You know, because the food environment here has just escalated, you know, so many people are moving here to open restaurants, things like that. Is there a community for the chefs, or is there a competition element between you, or what's that kind of like?
I wouldn't really say competition. I really like to show my support to the industry. Going out to eat at restaurants and tasting different foods, I guess that's what I seek out at being a chef, where, you know, your average probably household doesn't always think that way, but they have a plethora of options as well. But being from that chef industry, I don't really see competition at stake. I love to support our community as much as possible, and I feel like every industry person that you'd probably interview would have those same remarks. So it's definitely a tight niche industry here in Nashville.
What are some of the hardest aspects about being a chef?
Your time. Just, you know, growing a business, or, you know, just managing a concept if you have your own business, it takes a lot of time and energy to do, from training employees to obtaining those employees to a new store opening. I mean, you can put in anywhere from 90 to 100 hours a week, and then on the office sides of the week are, you know, your average 40-hour week. So you just got to be really flexible and able to bounce from thing to thing and multitask your, I guess, everything out there. So, yeah.
Yeah, and what's kind of the evolution for you? You know, do you have any, you know, dreams or different things that
absolutely.
You'd like to create?
So I definitely wouldn't say Hattie B's is, you know, my end game. I definitely want to be with Hattie B's and grow Hattie B's to a point. But ultimately, you know, I have this creativity inside of me to kind of do my own concept one day. And I've been very fortunate in working with such a good team here at Hattie B's that I've really obtained the skills of how to run a restaurant, what's the numbers look like, the admin side, not only, you know, just developing recipes and training people how to do that, but you really have to have more of a rounded sense of business whenever you do your own concept, because when you're putting up your own dollar, it's a lot tougher than just going into work for somebody and then receiving a paycheck every week. So you're a lot more cautious. You got to know your numbers, because if you don't, it kind of backfire on you. So,
is there a type or style of food that you're like, I'd love to cook that?
You know, I have a lot of ideas out there right now. I guess to the core of me, I'm a Southern chef with a lot of French techniques involved in that. Breakfast and lunch are probably some of my favorite meals out of a day, so I might have a more casual concept, and also kind of want more of a fine dining concept as well, but I want it to kind of resemble more of family style formats and stuff like that, just because growing up in the South, I had amazing grandparents that would cook, you know, meals from scratch, have huge spreads that you couldn't even wrap your mind around. It's like, all right, we're just feeding our family. We got like four different proteins,
right.
10 sides, and a couple desserts.
You need to go run a marathon after.
It was just always over the top, and everything was always homemade. And my mom alone was probably the organic person before organic was cool. So, I mean, all the food we grew up eating wasn't processed and was fresh or made from scratch from my mom, and it kind of developed that culture into me of, all right, let's work with our local farmers, let's be sustainable within the areas we live in and support the commerce and agriculture around Nashville or wherever that may be that my restaurant's going to be. Just getting involved with your community, I think, is a huge thing in doing that. So,
So you guys are obviously a big part of why hot chicken has been so popular in Nashville, but why has hot chicken always been the thing in Nashville?
Man, the Prince's family really blazed that trail for us. They've been doing hot chicken before hot chicken was cool, and they do it very well. And we kind of took a lot of restaurants after Prince's started popping up in Nashville, like your Bolton's, your 400 Degrees, Pepper Fire. And so we started playing around with it at the Bishop's Meeting 3 and just kind of, in a way, beta testing it, and didn't really think that it would take off as well as it did. And it just, you know, they would sell out of hot chicken every Friday when they specialed it on the menu. So it's kind of one of those things. It's like, man, like, we do this well. Let's kind of take that. Let's make scratch sides. Let's offer beer. Let's put these things in great locations, and not more or less great locations, I'd say more foot traffic, high volume areas.
Yeah, sure.
Just easy to get to, and it's just become a footprint of our success. So
right.
It's been really cool to see.
I'm going to be real with you. Identity theft is on the rise, and you do not want to wake up one morning and discover that your bank account has been emptied, or you're overdue on credit cards you never even applied for. We talk about this often on the podcast, but you don't realize how much of your information is available to scammers on the internet and how susceptible you and your family are to identity theft and fraud. I know, it's scary, but now you can get your data removed with Delete Me. That's why I personally choose Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I just started using Delete Me, and I got my regular personalized privacy report. I was shocked what they found and removed. It was pages of information about me that I did not want online. Here's how it works. You sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. I cannot tell you how relieved I felt to have Delete Me. And you know, it's also a great service for your parents or grandparents to help protect them from identity theft. Delete Me is not just a one-time service. Delete Me is always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you do not want on the internet. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special price for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use promo code ETM at checkout. The only way you get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and enter code ETM at checkout. joindeleteme.com/ETM. Go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use code ETM for 20% off. The weather is getting warmer. I'm so excited, and it is time to say goodbye to all those jackets and sweaters and hello to the shorts and t-shirts. I wanted to update my summer workout wardrobe for the long haul without, you know, spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince, and I am in love. Quince is your go-to place from everything from premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part of all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Okay, I bought the dreamiest pair of workout leggings and a bright pink workout top to match. Honestly, ladies, I gotta tell you, these leggings you need. The price cannot be beat, and I feel like a million bucks wearing this cozy workout-friendly outfit. I've worn it for like 5 days straight. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/ETM for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/ETM to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/ETM.
Right. And how did you come up with the sides and stuff like that? Are some of those maybe family recipes or things you always kind of had in your head? And,
yeah.
Because a lot of them are a little bit different. They all taste like a little bit different. So.
Well, I'll tell you one story in particular just with the pimento mac and cheese.
Yeah.
One year, I think it was 2011, I cooked Nick Sr. I cooked for him for his birthday. Mm-hmm. And one of the dishes I made was a pimento cheese potato au gratin.
Okay.
And he's like... It disappeared within seconds, and he was like, man, this was amazing. And we just kind of got to debacling around the family table, and we've had a lot of these conversations around the family table, and he's like, man, I wonder what a pimento mac and cheese, how that would do. And then, you know, the light bulb just kind of went off, and we specialed that on our menu from day one. And there's a lot of his family's recipes, like your potato salad, and your banana pudding on the menu that go way back. And then I kind of took a few other southern sides like black-eyed peas and made a salad out of it. We do fresh collard greens. And when we originally were coming up with the concept, it's like, all right, let's do six side items, three hot, three cold. Let's do them really well, and let's just stick to that footprint and see how it does. Because the simpler you make your concept, the better. It's better for operations.
Yeah.
It's better as far as quality goes. You can really drive quality into something that you have repetition in.
Yeah.
And so over the years, we've just really dialed these recipes in so that they always are, you know, great quality, great flavor, and you know what you're getting into when you come to Hattie B's. So it's just been really fun to kind of work on all those recipes and getting that opportunity. So
right. And you guys have three locations now, but you're planning on having more locations.
Yeah.
I mean, what is the ultimate plan for Hattie B's? Like, how big do they kind of want to get?
Well, we want to grow it as best as possible,
doing
all the right things. We have a really good core group that we're able to grow this restaurant. And we don't want to go at lightning speed. We'll be open for 5 years in August. So we have three currently, but we do have three in the pipeline for this year. And the only reason we're kind of able to do that now is because we actually have a core corporate group where the beginning stages of the business were about obtaining the right teams and getting those right people so that it kind of frees my time up. Our owner's time's up. Now we have a director of operations, a CFO, a director of culinary operations. And now we can kind of all come together as a group and really have cool brainstorming activities of what can we get better at? How can we offer better customer service? All the way down to the feel that you get coming into a Hattie B's. We never want to think we're too good for this business. We always want to be hungry, seeking out new things, and just making sure we're doing the best job we possibly can.
Right. Have you guys tried anything on the menu, though? Oh, that didn't work?
Not as of now, but I couldn't say that we haven't tweaked our recipes up until present day.
Okay.
So we definitely listen to customer feedback and the appeal of something and the presentation and... if we get enough negative comments about something, we kind of take that and we just make it better. And to this day, we are indeed, I mean, we'll take in a manager meeting between our GMs or stuff. It's like, hey, if there's one side you could change on the menu, what would it be? Mm-hmm. And those kind of, or how those ideas kind of strike up. And we have considered other options out there to replace stuff with, but... we've done such a good job at kind of developing those sides so that they've kind of stayed. Yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And is there more popularity just to some of the hotter chickens, or is everything kind of sells about around the same?
So I guess your main, your most popular heats are from mild to hot.
Okay, right.
The bulk of everybody's going to go for those three right there. And then for the bravest, you can kind of take it to damn hot or shut the cluck up, under advisory warnings.
But I mean, coming to Nashville now, I think having a hot chicken meal is one of the, like, our checklist.
Yeah.
Like, you have to come get one, right?
And that's amazing, you know, for our business as well, because, you know, when we have so many tourists coming to Nashville, it's like, hey, where should we eat? And I don't know if Hattie B's always comes off their mouth, but hot chicken is right. definitely a must.
Right.
And so that is, I feel like, drives more people to our doors, which is, I mean, you can't ask for that kind of advertisement.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not fast food at all.
Exactly.
I mean, we just had this meal, we just ate lunch, and it was amazing. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so good. And you have a great atmosphere, you grab a beer and everything, so yeah it's definitely not fast food.
Well, thank
sure.
you. We consider this fast casual now.
Right, yeah.
So it kind of has everything we touch has a homemade spin on it, but it's about, we don't also want customers to wait a long time on their chicken as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, during slow parts of the day, they'll let guests know as they come in the door, it's like, hey, just so you know, we're dropping fresh to order.
Right.
But when you have the line at the door, I think volume is so much easier to execute than slow volume.
Right, yeah.
Because if you're slow, you're constantly, you know, going through, dipping fresh chicken.
Yeah.
Where if you have volume, I mean, you can just have the chicken ready to roll.
Yeah.
And at the same time, we also protect that as well. We have timers set in the kitchen. After 30 minutes and that chicken hadn't sold,
yeah,
we can't sell it to
right.
the public. So
right.
definitely have parameters on just about everything just to maintain that quality.
All right, so how many of you are jonesing for some serious hot chicken right now? I know I am. If you want to read all about Hattie B's and all of our other awesome suggestions for traveling to Nashville, go to the show notes, click the link for our Nashville travel guide. It's free for you to download. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at Shauna Game, Instagram at millennial_money, and you could follow Jeff on Instagram at The Traveling Game.